You might find it hard to believe this next sentence, so make sure you're listening pretty closely. Smoking will be completely banned in New Zealand.
We want to make sure young people never start smoking, so we are legislating for a smoke-free generation by making it an offence to sell or supply tobacco products to those aged 14 when the law comes into effect. As they age, they and future generations will never legally be able to purchase tobacco.
That was New Zealand's Associate Health Minister, Dr. Aisha Verrill. And as you heard, the new legislation means that the legal smoking age will increase every year. Do you think this is a good idea? Would you like Australia to follow suit? Or do you think it's too much government overreach? We'd love to hear your thoughts. 0418 226 576 is the text line. Associate Professor Coral Gartner is an international expert in tobacco control policy with the University of Queensland. She joins me now. Welcome.
Oh, hello.
It's been described by New Zealand's Associate Health Minister as a historic day for the health of our people. Is this legislation a game changer?
Yeah, look, this is probably the most significant public health measure that we've had in the last 50 years. So I don't think it can be overstated how important this day has been for tobacco.
Just explain how the legislation will work. I mean, tobacco will still be on sale to those who are over the age, right? Do you know how accessible it will be?
Yeah, so there are a few different different policies that they've included in this. It's not just this policy of phasing out sales for people aged under 18 with the age raising each year. But there's also a number of other policies that they've included in this. So it's more of a comprehensive approach, including reducing the nicotine content of the smoked tobacco products that will remain available, which, you know, is to make the tobacco products non-addicting or very minimally addicting, so that, again, that protects young people who may experiment with smoking, that they won't become addicted to it.
The New Zealand government has said its goal is to make the country entirely smoke-free within the next 4 years. Do you think that's possible?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, this is quite monumentous policy that they've brought in here. It may, I think maybe, you know, within 4 years, maybe a bit of a stretch. It may be quite difficult with some of these policies in the, looks like they won't come into effect until 2025 or close to there. But look, you know, I think this is going to have quite a substantial impact. And in quite a short time, if they bring these policies in, like the very low nicotine content standard, if they bring them in quite quickly, that could really drive smoking prevalence down quite fast, because I think a lot of people would use that as an opportunity to quit. The smoke-free generation policy, where they're banning sales, and I should also point out that it's not making smoking per se illegal for anyone. So you wouldn't be arrested for if you're smoking tobacco. It would just be that you wouldn't, if you're a shopkeeper, you wouldn't be able to sell it to someone under a certain age. So if they, you know, that policy, that takes quite a while to, you know, have an impact on the number of people who smoke in a country, because obviously it's just banning it for one age level at a year. So that takes quite a while. So I think the nicotine content standard is actually going to have a faster impact overall when they bring that in.
What about the older generation who've been smoking for years? What will happen to them?
Mm. So, again, they'll be able to access those low nicotine content cigarettes, I guess, to use for weaning off smoking. But also in New Zealand, they do have these other nicotine products available. So nicotine vaping products, also smokeless tobacco products, they have them available. And that's been mentioned in their plan, is that for those people who really are having trouble quitting, that they can either get support to quit smoking with, you know, standard medicinal products, or they can maybe move to one of these lower risk products. And I think actually it's something to point out, that this plan actually includes a lot of support for people who are smoking and trying to help them to quit smoking. So it's not just withdrawing cigarettes without also underpinning that with a lot of support for the people who are currently smoking.
They've said the new laws won't restrict vape sales. And last week, Life Matters here on Radio National dove deep into the pros and cons of vaping. Here's Professor Matthew Peters, who's the head of respiratory medicine at Concord Hospital.
The only thing that should go into your lungs is clean air. And it's very difficult to imagine the sort of spectrum of chemicals inhaled at high temperatures with uncertain composition is going to do your lungs any good. And that's the way it's playing out.
And as we heard there, there are very real concerns about the safety of things like vaping. Is there a risk that people will be putting down one unhealthy habit and picking up another?
Yeah, look, I guess this is one of those difficult balancing acts between, you know, we obviously would prefer people to not use anything, and that's going to be the much safer option. Now, I think for some people who have a very strong addiction, they may benefit from having access to a lower risk product, even though that still carries some health risk. But it's really important that we also make sure that those products are regulated to make them as safe as possible. As well as restricting access to young people, people who don't smoke now, and just making sure that it doesn't become, you know, another big problem to solve. But, you know, as part of a comprehensive plan where we're looking at lots of different populations, and some of these populations will have a lot of trouble quitting smoking. So some people with mental health disorders, they smoke at a higher rate. And so they may need that extra support, and maybe something that's got that behavioural component like vaping offers, maybe something that's helpful for them to stop smoking.
How important is it that there are safe alternatives to smoking available?
Yeah, so one of the concerns, I guess, is that if you don't have something else available, that people might be more likely to seek out an illicit tobacco product instead, which would obviously be bad for a number of reasons, such as, you know, funding organised crime, as well as the health impacts of smoking. So having, you know, lower risk products can be part of a comprehensive plan. And, you know, if we look at all other substance use, we do support harm reduction options for people. So, for example, for opiate dependence, there is the methadone program and so on. So I think, you know, as part of a comprehensive plan, then we should also be looking at these other products. Now, does that mean that they should be available in, you know, the supermarket and so on? No. There are other options for that. But recognising that some people will have difficulty quitting, and that this may be a legitimate option for them, with also providing support to encourage them to eventually stop using this product if they can, that I think that's the best option.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Associate Professor Coral Gardner, an international expert in tobacco control policy with the University of Queensland, and this is Radio National Drive.